We read from Matthew 13, just verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're up on that much-anticipated date, April 15th. Besides that taxing and cheery thought, we also want to say this. April 15th has a special meaning for Bethany Lutheran College because it was 84 years ago, coming this April 15th, that a small group of ELS pastors and laymen gathered here on this campus, and they had a big question before them. And they really wrestled with it. Shall we purchase this school for $90,000? In today's terms, I understand that would be maybe $1,086,000 or so. Quite a hefty chunk for a small group like that to consider taking over. Well, they said they would go home and pray about it. They didn't have much time to make a decision. They went out to see if they could find some donors. Someone suggested that if they go out and find 50 more donors in just a week's time, that they could do it. They went out. They came back with 74 signatures. And they formed what was called the Bethany Association. And then that association purchased the college, and some of you know that it was a ladies' college at that time, which had gone bankrupt. They purchased it, 1926. And then a year later, 1927, they came before our Evangelical Lutheran Synod in convention, this group of people, and wanted the synod to take over the college. And there were a lot of speeches made. It was a hard decision also for a very small church body there, too. Should they do it or not? One of the famous statements from that was this: once we're convinced that the school is a necessity, we will also discover that we can't afford it. We can do a lot of things that we think are absolutely impossible once they have become a matter of life or death for us. And it was then that Pastor Gullickson, and you've heard about this, that's why we have the Gullickson Hall named, it was then that he raised his hand and made a motion from the floor and said, I move that we take over the school. And the rest is history, including you here. What a history for Bethany. Why? Why was that small group back in 1926 and a small synod in 1927, why would they be so interested in this? What was driving them, really, to do this, to take on that kind of responsibility? Huge debt. Look at that financial burden. And then on top of that, all the effort that would go into this. And then on top of that, look at the track record of the school beforehand. I would suggest to you that the answer is really found in this little parable that Jesus told. This parable of that treasure that was hidden in the field. It's a parable that is reminding us of the value, the real precious aspect to the gospel, the good news message of Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and the Savior of the world. It was common in Jesus' day, we understand, for a very wealthy person to often take one-third of the person's value and place it in the ground, as the individual would often go off and travel and so on, and not knowing what would happen, but be able to come back and then find that treasure buried there, and could continue to live a fairly nice life on that one-third that was buried in the ground. But so often it did happen that an individual did not always return either if they had been off on a journey. As a result, someone could come across this unexpectedly and find this great treasure. That's what happened apparently with this man that Jesus tells about in this parable. He finds this treasure, and it says, for the joy of it, he decides to go bury it again, only for a little bit, though, because he's going to rush off, and he sells everything that he has so he can come back by that field. This means a lot to him. You and I, the sinners that we are, did not have some kind of searching powers on our own to find this, like a spiritual Geiger counter or whatever, naturally speaking, to go out and find the treasure. But we have discovered this treasure because God has revealed it to us by the power of His Holy Spirit. He's done that through the washing of water with the Word, the hearing of the gospel message in our life, the strengthening that we have through the Holy Supper. In the New Testament, it says this about the gospel message, and a lot of people think that the passage is talking only about heaven, but it really is talking about the gospel itself when it says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." What is the gospel worth to you, to me? Bethany's motto, you know, is one thing needful. You students are used to doing evaluations here in the campus. How would you evaluate this message, the gospel message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Probably one of the hardest things in life for us to depart with would be the people who are near and dear to us, our loved ones, family members, so on. Think of what it had to have been like for Abraham in the Old Testament when God asked him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And remember how Abraham was ready to carry through with it. Because why? In the New Testament it says that Abraham, the book of Hebrews tells us, chapter 11, Abraham trusted that the Lord could raise the dead. He trusted that God could raise Isaac back to life, and yes, just as God promised through Isaac, the Messiah could be born. Think of the Apostle Paul, and you know he was Saul the persecutor. He had a lot of things outwardly going for him in life. Jew of Jews, you know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, high position and so on. And yet, what did he say? He counted all of those things as rubbish, as a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. An intriguing story has been told by a prominent American pastor that I think kind of illustrates for us the importance of and the preciousness of the gospel for our life. The story is told, anyway, about, and you probably heard it, possibly heard it before, told of a lieutenant in the Vietnam War. And this lieutenant found himself and his comrades in quite a firestorm. And as the bullets were sprayed all over the place by the enemy, he rushed out and saved his comrade, and he pushed the comrade out of the way to safety. But he himself was hit and killed instantly. A number of months later, we're told that that soldier came back to the United States. And when the parents, when the family of the lieutenant, the hero who had given his life, when they found out that this soldier now was in their vicinity, they invited him to come for a supper that evening at their home. And they were looking forward to that special evening with this man to find out more about what had happened there with their son and so on. They were surprised that when the soldier showed up at their doorstep already, he was drunk. He was even filled with cursing and swearing. He had told some dirty jokes and so on. Had no respect at all for the situation, the sensitivities of these people. It was a long evening. Finally, he left. And the mother of that lieutenant who had died, she began to cry as she turned to her husband and said, "To think that our son died for someone like that." The world does often put values, actually, in many ways we do. We say we don't do it, but in many ways we do. Put values on people's lives and say, "Yeah, you know, that person's worth saving more than this person," and so on. And by the way, you know what category we'd probably put ourselves in. How much like the ungrateful soldier are we, though, at times? Jesus Christ has died for us. God's own Son died for us. And yet, how do we often treat Him? Could it be that with our actions, and at least with our thoughts so often, too, and our words, that we treat our Savior in such a shameful manner, as the book of Hebrews says, crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace, as if we were doing that, trampling Him underfoot? But how tremendous God's love is. Would you sacrifice your own child for people in a prostitution ring? Would you do it for a drug addict? Would you do it for a bunch of people, a lot of people in the world, who would blame you for the world's troubles? None of us has that much compassion. But friends, our God does. Our Lord Jesus Christ has that kind of compassion. While we were yet sinners, says Scripture, Christ died for us. God has reconciled us to Himself. Not only us, but the whole world. And that means this, that no matter how many sins we've committed, no matter the type of sins we've committed before our God, we've been brought into a proper relationship with the Heavenly Father by His own Son. And nothing can keep us from having that wonderful relationship with our God when we're holding to Christ as our one and only Savior. So this we simply take hold of by the power of the Holy Spirit through working in our lives through word and sacrament. And this is what we really treasure for our life. A Norwegian bishop from the 1800s, Nils Lucky, he put it this way, whatever else we value, whatever brightens our life, disappears like the stars when the sun comes up. They are still there, but none of these things now is dearest to you. What is the message of the forgiveness of sins in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ really worth? Don't you find yourself, too, agreeing with that small group 84 years ago or so, and then the ones who also gathered in convention in 1927, saying, hey, that gospel message, that's the one thing needful for life. Go to the field, open up the Bible, and marvel that Jesus truly is our priceless treasure. And then let's remember this. This is the kind of treasure that you don't lose when you share it with someone else. How can you? It's so abundant. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When we share it with others, the deeper the value it is, not only for ourselves, but for all around. May God help us so to share this wonderful treasure. Amen. We pray, Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. I pray Thee ne'er from me depart. With tender mercy cheer me. Earth has no pleasure I would share. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare, if Thou, Lord, were not near me. And should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in Thee no one could shake. Thou art the portion I have sought. Thy precious blood my soul has bought. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, my God and Lord, forsake me not, I trust Thy word.